Hey everyone, Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double S anytime, man.
Christopher Mandor Russo here. You are listening to Stephen Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Stephen.
Here we go now on a Friday. Strom Sports Show brought to you by BetterEdge, the social betting exchange, giving back to the better. Stephen Strom here, TalkNorth.com. Great to have you in here on episode 145 on the great TalkNorth.com on this seventh day of May. We are in May. The NHL is coming down here. We've got the playoffs around the corner, NBA as well. Baseball starting to get into the swing of things. We had the NFL draft as well. Today we'll have Betsy Helfand of the Pioneer Press. She covers the Minnesota Twins, who have just been god-awful. Just god-awful. It's just so frustrating right now with what has happened with the Minnesota Twins. They can't get anything going in terms of continuity, in terms of winning streaks. They're dropping two to Texas. I'm recording here on a Thursday, so we'll see what they do today against Texas. But just a really frustrating start here for the Twins. And right now, being at 11-18 as of Thursday, they're starting to really bury themselves into a pretty deep hole. You know, the grave is 6 feet right now, and they're pretty much at 3 or 4 feet right now. They can't afford to keep losing, but we'll have Betsy on. There's some good stuff still with the losing early on, but Betsy will join me in just a few here, and we'll talk a little Minnesota Twins. I wanted to do some draft stuff because it stinks that just in podcasts and radio, a couple days after it's considered old. But I did have a couple reactions to the Minnesota Vikings draft. I tweeted some things. I got some flack for some other things that I tweeted. But I just wanted to first, what I like to do when sort of getting a feel for how the Vikings did, you got to go to the experts. So I looked up Mel Kiper Jr.'s grade. He gave the Vikings a B+ for their 11 draft picks. And I went over to NFL.com. Chad Reuter, he put together his draft grades, and the Vikings really couldn't have done much better. They earned an A grade. So you got a B+ from Kiper and an A from Reuter. ESPN and NFL.com, those are easily, I think, the two best in terms of draft coverage. I also read a couple of sites, but just to get a better feel, overall, this was a really good draft, I thought, for the Minnesota Vikings. And just my thoughts really quickly, they addressed their left tackle need in Christian Darrisaw, and they also picked up two third-rounders. Now, what they did with the two third-rounders, I think that is what people are salivating over. They picked Chaz Surratt, who will essentially replace Eric Wilson. Chaz Surratt was a linebacker for North Carolina. I think he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. And then you have Wyatt Davis, who's a sturdy guard that is going to hope, steadies the offensive line from Ohio State. Pro Football Focus tweeted out that he only gave up 4 sacks in his career, and I think he quote tweeted that and said 4 sacks with a question mark, so maybe he's in denial about that. Maybe that didn't happen. I don't know, but those two picks I really like. Now, I do have a problem with one of the third-rounders that the Vikings selected, and that is Kellen Mond from Texas A&M quarterback, especially after reading the Vikings were going to trade up to get Justin Fields. He was sitting there. The Giants traded out of it, and who steps up to the plate? The Chicago Bears. And Chicago, who has been in desperate need of a quarterback for how long? I mean, are we going to go back to, can we say Jay Cutler? Was Jay Cutler a success in Chicago? Because it's been a roller coaster ever since with Foles, with Trubisky. I mean, it's been a very long road for the Chicago Bears. So the Bears step up to the plate. They draft Fields. I'm sitting there, and I didn't have any idea that the Vikings were in play for him. I just kind of was watching the draft, and I'm like, wow, Fields is really dropping here. What's going on? would the Vikings ever take a shot? And they didn't, and Chicago jumped on it. Chicago makes sure that they get their quarterback, and all of a sudden the Vikings are sitting there, and you're thinking, man, is Justin Fields the second-best quarterback already in this NFC North if Aaron Rodgers is gone? And I think the answer is yes, so it really bothered me that after the fact that I knew, hey, the Vikings were actually going to trade up for Fields. It just never came to fruition because the Bears jumped all over it. I think it was more of an urgency need. The Bears were like, look, this is it. The one good thing we got us, you know, going for us Vikings fans is that Ohio State have not had really good quarterbacks. Dwayne Haskins, there's not been a long laundry list of successful Ohio State quarterbacks. And Chicago has not been known for developing their quarterbacks as well with Mitchell Trubisky. So, that's one thing. That's the first reason why it kind of bothered me after the fact as well. But there are obvious reasons why Mond fell to the third round. And all the stuff on Twitter. I mean, are you kidding me? Oh, he's going to replace. If this is Kirk Cousins' replacement, people, we are in trouble. His college tape shows a player who is inconsistent with his decision-making, inconsistent with his accuracy, which is his number one flaw, the timing, the pocket awareness. This is how I know I don't like this pick. I go on to walterfootball.com. This is one of my favorite sites that I really get a feel for a player. They give great stats, great analysis. Their player comp for Kellen Mond, and sometimes these can be outrageous. They can be outrageous. They can compare Justin Herbert to Drew Brees or something. That's not a comparison. I'm just saying just how far we get in all of this. They compared Kellen Mond to Josh Dobbs. Do you know who Josh Dobbs is? I knew he was from Tennessee. Do you know how many career games in the NFL he's played? Six. Six games. This is your player comp? People are drooling over Kellen Mond, and you go to his player comp, and it's Josh Dobbs? I've watched Kellen Mond play. I've watched him a couple of times. Was not impressed. Was not impressed. He's a four-year starter. And was really not impressed. And here's his stats from his freshman year. He played 11 games, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 1,300 yards. His sophomore year, he played 13 games, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. That was a good year by him in 2018. And then his junior year, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,800 yards. And then 2020, played in 10 games, obviously, with the shortened season. 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 2,200 yards. The completion percentages, 51% his freshman year, 57% his sophomore year, 61% his junior year, and 63% his senior year. And this is a guy that you think is going to replace Kirk Cousins? If that is the case, if that is what your mindset is, look, I know what the Vikings did here. What the Vikings did here was pretty simple. They know that Kirk Cousins has 2 years left on his deal. They know that probably after those 2 years, that's going to come up. I agree in the sense that you need to get a quarterback and maybe just have him in the back seat, groom him, let him work under Cousins. But you didn't want to take a quarterback in the first round because that's instant pressure. That's instant message saying, we are done with Kirk Cousins in a few years. You invest yourself in a quarterback in the first round, you automatically have to give him that at least playing time when Cousins is gone. They didn't want to do that to Kirk because he was his guy for 2 years. But what they did instead was go after a guy in the third round, which I didn't completely mind that they took a quarterback. I mind who they took, and that was Kellen Mond. I would have taken Mills. I'm ticked off that Trask went just before him. Kellen Mond, and this was also according to walterfootball.com, here's what they said regarding his draft and where they thought he was going to land. Quote, Mond has an outside shot of sneaking into the third round, but his more likely range is the fifth or sixth round of the 2021 draft. Fifth or sixth round. And people are applauding Spielman and Zimmer for taking this guy in the third round? Go watch him. Very mechanical. Very inaccurate. Can that stuff change? Yes, sure. Under quarterback development. But you look at the last couple of years, I mean, before what? Keenum and Bradford? This was a carousel of hot garbage. And it also does concern me that Kellen Mond's head coach, who was that? It was Jimbo Fisher. Do you remember Jimbo Fisher's 3 first-round quarterbacks with the Seminoles? Jameis Winston, who is in New Orleans, who actually took a contract to sit behind Drew Brees in, what, his 6th, 7th year? E.J. Manuel. He's not a starter. And Vikings fans know this guy pretty well. Christian Ponder. So is it fair for me to say, oh, well, automatically this guy's going to stink? No. But there is a obvious tracker. I mean, I tweeted it out. I couldn't stand the pick. I didn't like the pick. People are like, oh, my God, you're a hater, yada, yada. He's going to take over for Cousins. This was it felt like a sneaky move from Spielman. They didn't want to draft a quarterback in the first round because then that means a countdown for Cousins is on. But they also wanted to say, hey, listen, we're probably going to be done here in 2 years. I'm not sure if this is the guy, but we want to push you. We want to push you. The only thing that I can honestly say that Kellen Mond is better at with Kirk Cousins right now is the mobility and the athleticism. That is the only thing right now. Can he learn from Cousins? Sure. Do I think that he is going to be the starting quarterback in 2023? I do not think so. And I actually hope that's not the case. It was very tricky for the Vikings. They wanted to make sure that they got a quarterback this year, but they didn't want to draft one in the first round because that totally means, hey, Kirk, you're done, dude, in a couple of years. And that already could probably mean the case. But when you draft someone in the third round, it's not as intrusive for the starting quarterback of your football team. It's just not. It's not as much of a fear. There's not enough media saying, oh, well, the first round pick is still on the bench after the Vikings start 2-3. There's none of that. Kellen Mond is a project. Kellen Mond is a draft and stash guy for the next couple of years. But I don't want to dwell on just that. I really liked what the Vikings did this year. I think a lot of people around the league agree with that. The Vikings' biggest, you know, downfall was their defense. It was the worst defense under Mike Zimmer. He was in middle to that. They fixed that with Chaz Surratt replacing Wilson. They went out and got Patrick Peterson. They brought back Mackenzie Alexander. Dalvin Tomlinson is in. And my dad always loves to say this. The Vikings are getting two huge free agents in Michael Pierce coming and finally playing this year and Danielle Hunter back healthy. That's what we're treating as free agents because ultimately you didn't have a Pro Bowl, all-pro type of rusher on the end last year in Danielle Hunter. So the Vikings are going to be a lot better this year. Their over-under's at 8.5. I really like what they did in the draft. I just don't agree with what they did in the third round taking Kellen Mond. If you're going to take a quarterback, take a guy like Fields. If you're going to take a quarterback, don't take Kellen Mond and expect that he's going to be the guy that's going to step up and take over for Kirk Cousins. Okay, before we get to Betsy, I just want to tell you about my sponsor, Better Edge. Please combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge. I've been using this site as of the last couple of months here. I'm really enjoying it. It's the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors, meaning people need to understand when you are betting, when you're gambling, the sites take a certain amount of a percentage that you win. Better Edge doesn't do that. Like, they don't do that. There's no VIG. So whatever you win, that's what you get. And that's why I love Better Edge, which is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users and attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with Better Edge in a number of different sports and event competitions. Use the promo code STROM, STROM. You'll see me on there. Listen, if you want to go head-to-head against me, let's go. Give me a spread. If you like the Wild tomorrow night against the Ducks, tell me, hey, I like the Wild -1.5. I'm going to hammer the Ducks +1.5. And we'll go up against each other. Really fun. Really good for users. It's user-friendly. And again, there's no VIG. So you are getting whatever you make, that's what you get. So use the promo code STROM, STROM, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. That's BETTOR edge.com. One more time. BETTOR edge.com. Promo code STROM for a free $10. Here's Betsy Helfand of the Pioneer Press venting and talking me through some Minnesota Twins in 2021. Betsy Helfand is with us now. She covers the Minnesota Twins for the Pioneer Press at Betsy Helfand on Twitter. It's great to have you on today, Betsy. You know, it's been sort of a wacky year to start with the Minnesota Twins. The month of April was up and down. It ended pretty poorly. And then you felt like the Twins were getting some traction. We're recording here on a Wednesday. So unfortunately, this comes out Friday. The loss on Tuesday night was one to try to forget about. But I guess early on here, it's just sort of been frustrating that they can't get any continuity, any of this consistency going so far.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me. But yeah, I mean, I was looking at this the other day. I talked to Max Kepler, Kyle Garlick, and Miguel Sano right as they were about to come back. As we're recording, Miguel still hasn't come back, but the Twins have not had their preferred like opening day starting lineup on the field for more than really a half inning. It's just kind of been, you know, one thing after another, starting with Donaldson. The day Donaldson came back, Andrelton Simmons went on the COVID list. By the time Simmons came back, like, Kepler and Sano were out. Now Arise is out. And now, I guess, probably the most concerning of all these things is that we don't really know what's going on with Alex Kirilloff. Hopefully we'll get an update later today. So by the time this comes out, we should know. But he's had wrist issues in the past, and he looked so good at the plate, and losing him would just be such a, you know, dagger. So hopefully that's not a long-term thing. But Rocco said yesterday it didn't seem to be the most
good.
What was minor? Yeah, minor of things. So
we'll get back into the Twins. This is just my ADHD kicking in. I literally, before I'm recording with Betts here, and you know, this is we don't take sports insanely too serious here. I was talking about just how your career started, and you were out in Las Vegas. You're from Chicago originally. You went to the University of Minnesota. You know, how cool was it of a moment for you to get this gig and be able to cover not your hometown, but somewhere you went to college at, and in the Minnesota Twins?
Yeah. It was a great opportunity that I couldn't pass up. I really, really loved living in Las Vegas, and I really liked my job there, you know, had good friends, liked where I lived, liked everything about it. But, you know, I guess similar to a player, when you're covering the minor leagues, obviously the hope is to make it up to the major leagues.
Right.
And it was, I call them a practicum class, basically an internship with the Pioneer Press when I was in college. So everything, you know, worked out, you know, just pretty perfectly for me to come back here. My only little complaint is that I still have not adjusted back to the weather.
I knew you were going to say, you're talking about two opposite ends of the spectrum. You're in Las Vegas where it's warm every single day. Now, sometimes it's brutal in the summer. I think you can attest to that. But when you come out here, I mean, it is frigid. Even though I heard it's better. I heard it was like 80 degrees a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I don't know, all the days get mixed up. It was a few days ago, maybe Saturday, it was like 80 degrees. I just feel like I'm a little better equipped for 110 degrees than I am for like negative 10.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, even though I spent most of my life in the Midwest, I'm not a big cold weather person. But otherwise, yeah, definitely great to be back here.
All right, let's get into some baseball here. Let's do Alex Kirilloff, because, you know, in spring training, he obviously struggled. And I know there's like a loophole in service time to a player. So even though he didn't hit well in spring training, I still felt like the Twins probably wanted to keep him off the opening day roster to start. But now he is back. And even from the start, he was struggling a little bit, but he was hitting the ball really hard. And then I'm looking at his numbers since April 30th, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs. In the last 6 games, what's been the biggest difference for Kirilloff finally getting off the schneid?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things, you kind of mentioned it. Like, he has been, there were like 100 plus mile per hour rockets, you know, past, you know, or like there was one right back at the pitcher. I think, you know, he's been hitting the ball very hard. Obviously now, you know, I think there were 4 home runs in 3 days. It's hitting it a little harder apparently, but you know, he's looked really good. He looks very comfortable. I think some of what they were talking about this spring, you know, obviously you just mentioned service time, but some of what they were talking about, you know, when they sent him down was that they wanted to send him down, let him be in a spot where he, you know, was, I guess, at his most comfortable. And perhaps that wasn't during the spring for whatever reason, before calling him back up. Because obviously when you call a guy like that up, you want him to be called up to stay. Like, they don't want to, you know, put him, you know, back and forth through the Green Line Express. So.
Right. What about Sano? Because he's interesting. He's finally starting to take BP, and he feels at least like he's getting closer. How does Sano sort of fit in this lineup right now? Like, who goes, who stays kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say before there were Kirilloff injury concerns, you're kind of looking at, you know, a Williams, Astudillo, Jake Cave, Kyle Garlick situation, but they all bring something different, right?
Astudillo is playing great.
Yeah, Williams brings versatility. Jake Cave, you know, is somebody who can play center field. They don't have, you know, that many people who can can do that in case Buxton goes down. And Kyle Garlick obviously is a right-handed hitter that they, you know, a lot of their outfielders are not. So you kind of look at it, I guess I maybe would have guessed Williams, but at this point, you know, not knowing what's going on with Kirilloff, it might be like a Kirilloff injured list.
Yeah.
And kind of interesting, Derek Calvey was talking yesterday. It's not so much a timing thing with Miguel. It's more like his load and getting kind of back. I guess it's more mechanical than timing. But he's been hitting off the velocity machine. He's looked good to my untrained eye doing that.
What does that mean, though? Just explain to the audience the mechanical part of it, just with Miguel Sano, because he was such a great fastball hitter. Like, is that what do you think, just from your conversations, what that really means?
Let me see. I want to find that quote, because definitely Derek is better equipped to explain this.
Yeah, and I'll buy you time. Go check that out, because I definitely want to talk a little bit about Miguel Sano, because this is a guy, I mean, like, Sano and Buxton were supposed to be these two guys, and they were supposed to, you know, catapult this team to the next level. Super high expectations. They both kind of were in and out, hot and cold. Buxton has solidified himself, at least for the month of April. He's been unbelievable, where Sano is just this up and down kind of roller coaster ride. So do you have what the quote was?
Yeah. And it was a quote about Kirilloff and Miguel. I'll kind of read it to you, because it was actually, you know, pretty interesting quote, pretty insightful. He's talking about Kirilloff first. He said, in AK's view, he's a timing-based hitter. He'd be the first to tell you that. Like, the way he talks about his swing, the way he's developed as a hitter, he has a slightly different philosophy from a hitting standpoint than the average hitter. So he's geared towards timing. That is his focus, and he can be mistimed right. You can see it sometimes. We saw it a little bit in spring. Whereas Miguel, timing is still hitting for sure, but his is geared a little bit more towards setup, being on time with his load and firing at the right time. There's a different issue on his end that we're trying to actually help accelerate while he's down here for a little bit to try to give him some reps, and we'll get him back to that. But I would say that losing it, I don't think you necessarily lose it once you're rolling in a while. So Alex is now timed up, and that's a good thing. But I would say in Miguel's case, he's never really gotten to a place, even going back to spring training, where he's on time with his load firing. I know this is getting into the weeds a little bit. It's two different types of issues, but both leading to sometimes some swing and miss for both of them. So obviously Derek can get a little more technical into what getting someone's load on time, you know, time means than I can. But it was interesting, you know, because you look at it and you're like, he's missing. So the timing's off, but it is interesting that that's kind of not, I guess, what they view as the issue.
Betsy Helfan with us now, covers the Minnesota Twins for the Pioneer Press. You know, we can go a lot of different. This Twins team has been weird this year, like we've sort of outlined. There's some positives, a lot of positive with Buxton and Cruz, and there's been some negatives with just the way some of these games have played out. Alex Colomé. But we'll stick with a positive here, and that's J.A. Happ. Like, even yesterday on Tuesday, just pitches a really nice game. He's been pretty solid for the Twins. I felt like right now he has to be the free agent signing of this team so far.
Yeah, he's been impressive. You know, bring in two veteran starters and kind of gone in the exact opposite direction. But Happ has been, I guess to this point, he's really been their most consistent starter all year. He kind of labored a little bit through his first inning, you know, yesterday, but he was able to kind of get through that with minimal damage. I think he hit a guy, blocked a guy. There was a hit. But then after that, he looked great.
Settled down, yep.
Yeah, he really settled in. And, you know, you've seen these signings, you know, Shoemaker, Happ signings kind of go in the exact opposite direction to this point. But I think, you know, they've got to be very happy with what they've seen from him.
And I got to be honest, when they first signed him, I was like, man, this, you know, Rich Hill last year was a really nice addition. I thought that, you know, you always take a risk bringing in an older guy, but there is that low risk, or that, you know, high risk, low reward type of mentality. And I thought that maybe they squeeze every last ounce of that philosophy out, but J.A. Happ coming in here and doing his thing is a really good sign early on. Let's get into Alex Colomé. Because right now, I mean, I defended the move when Baldelli put him in. I think it was last week. I'm trying to think if it was the Cleveland game. He put him in for the ninth inning, and he gave up a run. It was 3-3, I think. And then the Twins went up 5-3 or something like that, and he decided to put him back in. Was that the Cleveland game? Am I remembering that correctly?
You are talking about a Cleveland game. I think my memory's not the best either. I think what happened, if I'm not mistaken, was Duffy in the eighth. Duffy gave up a home run. Like, Rogers was going to be in line for the save situation. Rogers came in and pitched the ninth, and then Colome gave up a two-run home run in the 10th.
Let me see.
That the one, Jordan Luplo?
Yes, you're right. You're right. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I get what he's trying to do, like, in that situation. Like, you're just trying to find the guy some confidence. Like, you're just trying to find him a spot where, you know, just look at the stats. Like, eventually something's got to break. He's got to get out of an inning. What do you do right now if you're Rocco Baldelli? Just from a standpoint of, this is a guy you paid a pretty good amount of money for. What do you do? You know, we're in May right now. You can't give up on the guy, but where are you at here with Colome?
Right. Yeah. We're seeing him moved into lower leverage situations. I think the last situation he was moved into was almost no leverage at all. I forget what it was. They were either up big or losing big, but you know, he's been working with Wes. Wes has been very positive about, you know, how his stuff has looked. He keeps saying a lot of it is location driven. I say he's starting to feel good about, you know, where he's at, how he's throwing the ball. But with Colome throwing the way he is, it kind of exposes the rest of the bullpen, right? Like, yesterday, once you use Robles, Duffy, Rogers, then it's like, well, where do you turn, right? Because you're supposed to have another, you're supposed to have a fourth option, one who has tremendous experience and, you know, tremendous success pitching late in games, and now you suddenly don't have that, and that kind of exposes the lack of depth, you know, throughout the rest of the bullpen too.
Yeah, it's and I can't blame Baldelli for going to left. I could, you know, there's certain things, and people are on him. Like, people are really on him this year, Rocco Baldelli. And listen, I mean, there's certain things you definitely can critique, but this has been a collective effort. This has been injuries. This has been COVID stuff. This has been fielding errors since the start of the season. This has been the bullpen. So I just think if they can just get some continuity, some winning streaks together, this is a team I think we all expect to be in October playoff race. I don't think there's any question about that.
Sure. Yeah. This is a much better, better team than they've played, and they have looked, you know, better recently. Obviously yesterday was a lapse in that, and the bullpen is a glaring issue. And yeah, you know, yesterday was interesting because there were three of the next four batters were lefties. Rogers was already used. Gilbar had been used twice in the past 2 days. And Jorge Alcala, if you look at his splits against lefties, it hasn't been pretty. So it wasn't an interesting decision. You could probably make the case for, I don't know, maybe Cody Stachak, but, like, he hasn't been great either. Interesting thing about Stachak has been that, like, he is known for his pinpoint control, and he's been walking a lot of guys, you know, at least for him. So some of the decisions you look at, and it's like, okay, like, I can see why you went this way, and they're just not working out. You know, some of it, you know, comes down to the players on the field not making the plays.
100% correct. Last one for you here, Betsy, because it's just, you know, it's obviously really cool that you're on the beat and you get to know these players. Obviously it's different with the Zoom stuff, but it feels like you guys are having fun on Twitter, you know, just, I think it was a Rise and Dan Hayes, you know, wake up Dan, whatever it may be. If you had to give me the top three characters in that clubhouse that just sort of make you seem to laugh every time that they come on, who are the biggest characters on this team in that clubhouse?
Oh God. You know, you asked me a year ago and the answer is Sergio Romo, without a doubt.
Oh.
he was every single Zoom was a lot of fun. You know, it's hard to see some of their personalities over Zoom. Definitely Williams, definitely Luis, you know, especially as he's grown more comfortable. I'm not exactly sure where the wake up Dan thing came from. He just started, been a continued, he's like, Dan, are you asleep? It's been a continued thing. It's kind of funny to see. I don't know. I'm sure there are plenty, you know, Tyler Duffy's a pretty funny guy. And he's been around for a while, so he likes to poke fun at Dan sometimes and some others. So maybe those three. I mean, there are a lot of characters. You know what? Nelson.
Yeah.
Nelson is a lot of fun. And every single Zoom, he says something that you kind of laugh at. So it's definitely a good group of guys.
Hey, Betsy, I really appreciate you jumping on with me today. Make sure to follow her on Twitter at Betsy Hell Fan. Covers the Twins, does a really great job for the Pioneer Press. I read the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press almost every day, getting my sports fix. So keep up the great work, Betsy, and I appreciate you again for carving out some time for me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Betsy Helfand, everyone, make sure to follow her on Twitter. All right, big thanks to you, my listeners. Big thanks to TalkNorth.com. Just wanted to let you guys know some career news really quickly. I cannot talk about the NBA on the podcast. I don't know if anyone has sort of noticed that when A-Rod and the J-Lo situation came out. And I'm sorry, A-Rod and buying the Wolves, I couldn't really say anything. That is because I'm employed by the NBA. I started working there back in February. It's been a crazy last couple of months, but I just wanted to put that out there for you guys. So, and anyways, you don't want to hear me talk about the Wolves. You know, John Krasinski does a fantastic job with that. But as of right now, I cannot talk about the NBA opinion-wise. So I could do everything else. I could do Twins. I could do hockey. I could do football. I can do college football. I could do college basketball. So just from that standpoint, that's where I'm at right now. And again, the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Better Edge, the social betting exchange, giving back to the bettors. Big thanks to you guys. Big thanks to my producer, Brandon Morton. For everyone at TalkNorth.com, have a fantastic rest of your weekend. And I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.